It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 25th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you tried to like something on Facebook in the last day or so, you may have noticed a long-hinted feature has been rolled out. More options. A heart, a ha-ha face, a wow face, a sad face, and an angry face. For the user, maybe, but advertisers have long suggested that more options make for better ad targeting. The dislike button that many of us have asked for, dreams deferred, guys, dreams deferred. Recently, it was the simple like or a whole mess of them that inspired a map of support for presidential campaigns. The map was made by Nate Silver's statistics-focused website, 538.com. Ruben Fisher-Baum is a visual journalist who worked on the so-called Facebook primary. Ruben, tell me how you gathered all the data.
We worked with Facebook. They gave us their full data set on which candidates are being liked on Facebook at the county level, at the zip code level for some areas. And so we just made an interactive map so we kind of explore where different people have different support in different parts of the country.
So, Ruben, give me the breakdown of what you guys found after looking at all this data.
Yeah, so what we found was that three candidates, Bernie Sanders, Ben Carson, and Donald Trump, had kind of an overwhelming lead in likes. They're all very close to each other, but everyone else is quite far behind. Trump has a lot of support, as we know he does in the polls, in poorer, whiter areas. He's really strong in Appalachia. Carson's strong throughout the South. Bernie Sanders, really great in the Northeast and urban centers. Marco Rubio, you can kind of see that his ground game is pushing likes in places that he's visited. He's really strong in Florida, really strong in Iowa, and strong in South Carolina, and then kind of blank elsewhere.
What do we know about Facebook users as compared to the voting population? They're younger?
Yeah, they're younger, although they're not as much younger as like compared to Twitter or other social media groups, but compared to the average population, they are younger. They're female. They're a little lower income, but that is probably just because they're younger. A lot of people do use Facebook. It's over half of the U.S. adult population. But sort of the tougher question is how many of those people are actually going out there and actively liking candidates' pages and if there's some extra demographic skew.
What surprised you the most?
Yeah, so I think kind of the most interesting people that came out of the data were just this enormous lead that Donald Trump, Ben Carson, and Bernie Sanders had. I think if we had this Facebook data in past elections, we could have seen something. It would have been really interesting to look at what happened with Ron Paul, for example, kind of that same sort of boom.
Ruben Fisher-Baum is a visual journalist for 538.com. Ruben, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Always worth remembering that Facebook likes do not make a candidate a winner in the voting department by any stretch. And here's an odd gadget coming out of the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, a new phone from Caterpillar, the company that usually makes much bigger machines that are yellow and fall under the lifter-puller category. The Caterpillar S60 has an interesting feature, thermal imaging, aka predator vision, whatever for. Phil Rosso is a program manager at Caterpillar.
So you could take it to your window and take a look and see if there's cold air leaking in. Maybe you're a plumber and you're looking for a water leak. Hold it up to the wall and you can see where the hot water is coming down the wall.
Rosso says you could also use the phone to check the propane tank levels in your barbecue. And yes, he has received email asking whether the S60 can see ghosts. He can neither confirm nor deny that ghosts exist. Next week, astronaut Scott Kelly is scheduled to return from the International Space Station after being up there for a year. He won't be bringing much with him, and he departs a part of near space that these days is getting a bit trashed. The stuff we leave up there flying at 17,000 miles an hour in low Earth orbit is going to become a problem eventually. Luckily, a lot of smart people are thinking about this. Tiago Suarez is from the European Space Agency, or ESA, and he is one of them. Tiago, thanks for chatting.
Thank you.
So where does all this debris come from and what kind of damage can it cause?
Debris comes mostly from old satellites that were left in orbit. Some of these objects actually either collided with other objects or just had some breakup due to internal energy that was not depleted.
How would one clean this stuff up? What might be a way? Are we just building a giant vacuum cleaner or what are we doing?
Yeah, but there's vacuum already there, so it becomes a bit more difficult. No, we are thinking about using robotic arms, or we are also looking at other options, a bit more far-fetched, but still that we are really developing using nets, for example, or even harpoons.
Harpoons.
Let's say the most mature ones are the robotic arms and the net.
Why do we need to clean this stuff up?
Yeah, there are several reasons. There are more and more need to do collision avoidance maneuvers. Objects that come your way and you have to move your satellite out of its orbit for a little bit to avoid the collisions. If the debris, if they are not big enough, they cannot be tracked. So you don't know if you are hit by, let's say, a 3-centimeter debris. It can cause the end of your mission because hitting in the wrong place, you could lose your satellite or at least lose some vital functions, let's say.
As we have more private companies working in space, should we be thinking about regulations for them to follow when it comes to, you know, creating more debris or cleaning up after yourself, so to speak?
I think at the moment, most of the public agencies around the world, space agencies, they all follow guidelines or even regulations. For example, in France, there is actually a law for space operations that makes mandatory to all the spacecraft operators from there to comply with certain rules to protect the environment.
And that includes private and public?
That includes private and public, yes. And I think that the natural way will be that more and more countries will try to enforce these regulations.
Tiago Suarez from the European Space Agency, or ESA. Tiago, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.